From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Is it KD back as City slicker score 7? And just how do we manage the reduced game week? All that and more on this week's official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Hello again, no rest for the wicked. Your third FPL deadline in just over a week is around the corner. 7 fixtures to reflect on from game week 17. Game week 18 will see 5 take place, but our panel are at full strength. So welcome along to French football expert and journalist Julien Laron.
Hi Kelly, hi everyone.
And a big hello to pundit Sam Parkin.
Morning Kelly.
And half of FPL family who, like me, had a late night last night doing the FPL show as well, Lee Bonfield.
Good morning Kelly, hi everyone.
Good morning, Lee. Thank you for getting up bright and early with us. Let's start with a recap of game week 17. Then Man City put 7 past Leeds with 4 of the game week's top 6 scorers coming from Pep Guardiola's side. Kevin De Bruyne leading the way with 16 points, where the most owned midfielder, Bernardo Silva, scored just 1 point coming off early. The second most transferred in player of the game week was Ollie Watkins. He justified his transfers in by bagging a goal and assist at Norwich. West Ham and Mikel Antonio failed to score again, helping Arsenal's Aaron Ramsdale and their defence to another clean sheet. I know Jules enjoyed that one. Emile Smith Rowe came on and scored to seal a 2-0 win. Liverpool came from behind to beat Newcastle 3-1 thanks to Mo Salah, Diogo Jota and Trent Alexander-Arnold, whilst Chelsea and Everton drew 1-1 with Mason Mount returning for the 4th game week in a row. No clean sheet though, but an assist and maximum bonus points for Reece James. Onto our panels then. Julien, you took a 4-point hit, but it actually worked out pretty well, didn't it?
Yeah, Kelly, 65 points. I put Ollie Watkins in because, as we said, the fixture list is good for Villa. And also, I was at the Liverpool game, which they lost, and it was not a very good game, but he looked really sharp, to be fair. And I think with a bit more of an attacking tactics and strategy from Steven Gerrard at Liverpool, I think he could have got something in that game too. So I was very confident putting him in the team. And as you said, he got a lot of points. My only little regret is that I remember as a couple of weeks ago when I was on the show, I had captain Trent Alexander-Arnold ahead of Mo Salah, instead of Mo Salah. And he got more points than Salah, and I was really happy. Not many more points, but still enough. And I wanted to do the same this week, and I still said, okay, Salah is so safe, let's keep Salah. And then Trent, again, I outscored him. So maybe the way forward is more Trent as captain than Salah.
It's one of those that sounds a nice idea, isn't it? But actually, when you can't do
exactly.
It, it's hard to actually do. Now, Sam, oh, I really feel for you, and I'm sorry to have to bring this up. You made an early transfer, which often in FPL is a really smart move, but it didn't pay off last week, did it?
Been punished for being organised for the first time in my life. it would be very easy to blame the new small person we've got in the house, but I'm not going to go down that route. I went Ronaldo and Dennis, on the face of it, at the moment I thought was quite a bright move for Jimenez and Vardy, two of the lads who are continually letting me down. And then obviously the Manchester United game didn't go ahead, so I thought, you know what, I need snookers in the mini league. I got a roll of dice, so I put Harry Kane back in the mix, only for his game to go as well. So eight point hit, and not a lot of minutes to show for it, let alone points.
That's got to be my favourite transfer of the season.
Has to be.
Ronaldo in for a hit, and then what? Kane in for a hit. Oh, that's just a tale of woe, that, Sam. I'm sorry.
Again, I've always been a bit of a maverick in terms of Fantasy League. But it's not been a good few months for me. Continually let down by poor captain selections as well. I think since the last time I was on, I said that I was no longer going to persevere with Harry Kane. And I went for him for the Norwich at home game and saw the 3-0 flash up and thought, right, finally, I'm going to have my day. And he didn't contribute anything. So I've reverted to Salah or no one.
Yeah, that seems to be a lot of managers' policies. You know what? Actually, the fact that you got 45 points, given all of that, I actually think I'd be pretty happy if I was you right now.
Yeah, it's actually turned out not too bad. I've not lost too much ground. So hopefully better things to come over Christmas.
Yeah, I don't think 45 is bad at all. I don't think 63 points for you, Lee Bonfield, is too bad either. You must have been delighted when Alonso went off early.
Oh yeah, I was due a little bit of jamminess, and actually Alonso banking the clean sheet this week was definitely it. To be honest, I think that made the difference actually. Over the last few weeks, the Chelsea boys for me, so I've got Alonso and I've got Reece James, you know, just a series of 1-2 or 0 pointers for those two. In weeks where Rudiger's gone on adventures up the pitch and got, you know, double assists for fouls in the box, and you know, and that's been really hurting my rank. So for Rudiger not to get the clean sheet and for those guys to return, yeah, was a big rank boost for me this week. So that was the difference for me, really, between an average week and a good week, was those two coming back with the points. So yeah, pretty happy.
So good week for you overall, Lee, but you didn't go through in the FPL Cup.
You can focus on the league. You can focus on
that's
the league.
Exactly, yes.
I want to win everything.
Jules, I don't know why you're saying that, because you did go through.
Yeah. Because you know, I've got enough depth in my squad to compete in both competitions.
Of course, he has.
Clearly not
Lee's
case in his squad.
Okay, well, moving on to our FPL Public Mini League. By the way, congratulations to anyone else who also made it through alongside Jules in the FPL Cup. On to our FPL Public Mini League. No change at the very top, but it was a great week for Tuchel for School. I like that FPL team name very much. They got 87 points and moved up to third. A reminder: if you do want to join our league, the code is 1KIKS7. Now, it was announced on Thursday that 5 matches of Game Week 18 have been postponed due to COVID outbreaks. Manchester United, Brighton, Watford against Crystal Palace, Southampton versus Brentford, West Ham, Norwich and Everton, their home game against Leicester, will all no longer take place as planned. So with less than 38 hours between the game week ending and the next deadline, let's once again pick out some key conundrums to help managers navigate this unique game week. So 10 teams in action this weekend, meaning it's a slightly different way of preparing for a game week. Firstly, Lee, let's broadly discuss, how do we navigate it?
Yeah, it's very difficult, isn't it? It's very difficult. There will be a lot of FPL managers opening the app and seeing a lot of players without games this weekend. And from that perspective, I can see why the free hit would be tempting. It certainly would be tempting. And I've had a look. I've put a free hit team together and it's got, you know, 3 Aston Villa, 3 Man City in it and 3 Arsenal and a couple of Chelsea. So it does look pretty good. But I have to say, given the amount of postponements that we've had, what does that mean for us as FPL managers? That means we are going to have some pretty good looking double game weeks on the horizon. Now, we don't know when they are right now. But my advice would be, despite the temptation, I think it's worth saving that free hit, because when those double game weeks do come around, that's when you're going to be able to play that chip and maximise the points that you get from those double game weeks. So although it's tempting, I would hold it.
Okay, so hold the free hit. Jules, how many players do you think managers should want to get out in their team? What's the kind of threshold this week?
Yeah, that's the thing, because I agree with Lee completely. The problem is, if you only have 5 players right now in your squad that are playing this weekend, then this is a big issue. And then maybe you're just forced to do to go and use your free hit chip. I think 7 or 8 is probably okay. You can make obviously a transfer, maybe 2 transfers for some of the managers who have two free transfers this weekend. Take a 4-point hit, not in the Sam Parkin way, where, you know, it's you waste it, but in a real way. And I think even the 4-point hit is worth it, and you can have 10 out of 11 playing, no one on your bench maybe. But I think that could be okay. Otherwise, if you've got less than 8, I think, or 7 maybe, then I think you might be forced to play your free hit.
A points hit's worth it this week, do you think, Sam? Because a lot of teams are going to be in the same boat. How many points hits should we take? Do managers have to be a bit wary of not taking too many minus points?
I think you have to, well, take Lee's advice, really, that look at the whole landscape. Everyone's in the same boat, aren't they? I think it's too much of a risky strategy to panic right now. I've got 7 currently out of the squad who are available, so I'll do a 4-point hit, I'd imagine, and try and get 9 out there. It's unprecedented. Hopefully, when things settle down, we will know when the double game weeks are going to be, and that's the prime opportunity to play your free hit, I think.
Okay, so Sam's going to take a 4-point hit to get to 9. Where are you going to be at by the time you've made your transfers? No need to reveal your transfers yet. We'll do that in the final section. But what's the number you're aiming for, Lee?
So I've got, let me see, I've got 9 available in my team at the moment. So, yeah, listen, I'm not averse to taking a -4. I think once you're getting up into the sort of -8s and maybe even -12s, I think that's territory that you might not want to go to. I must admit, I was looking at my live rank as the last game week was kicking off, and I didn't take a hit last week. And because I didn't take a hit, and a lot of other managers did, I kind of moved up sort of 20, 30k places, even without a ball being kicked last game week. So there is absolutely a case for, if you can, holding those transfers, maybe rolling one to next week and then reassessing, as Sam was saying, when things are a little bit clearer. I think if you can get 9 or 10 players out in a game week that's only got 5 games, you're not doing too badly. So that's probably where I'd want to be.
Okay, well, let's talk about some players and teams that are in action this weekend that could be key. Let's start with the league leaders, Manchester City. We spoke recently on the podcast about their midfield options and how Bernardo Silva was the best one of the lot. But then came the return of Kevin De Bruyne this week, 2 goals and 16 points. Are we looking at him, Sam, now?
I'm not at the moment. I think, given it's been such an interrupted start to the season, you just have to wait and see how he's utilised by Pep Guardiola. Obviously, he strengthens them incredibly, but such amazing options in the midfield already. I'd probably want to wait a little bit longer. That said, I think we're going to come onto it. This is a really nice fixture where he has contributed hugely. I think of this game and I think of Kevin De Bruyne excelling. I think 3 goals and 5 assists against Newcastle. So, yeah, for this weekend, considering the circumstances we've just spoken of, it would probably be quite a good curveball differential. But I'm not sure that I'll be bringing him right now just because of the other options in that midfield at City.
Yeah, the other options and the fact that he costs 11.8 million. Does that put you off a bit, Jules?
So what put me off the most is that he said after the game that he still feels the repercussions of COVID.
That's right.
And I just think that it would be maybe too risky to play him back-to-back, 3 days in between the two matches. And I could easily see Pep saying, you know what, you had a great game and that was fantastic and you're back to nearly your best, but let's miss this one and have a rest and then, or maybe be on the bench and then you start the next one instead of starting this one. Because you might well start him, of course, but you would think that considering where De Bruyne comes back from, plus the fact that even he says, I still feel COVID and my body is still adapting to all the repercussions of having COVID, clearly badly. I'm quite skeptical on the fact that he can start again this weekend. So I would stay away from it because I'm just not sure. Imagine you spend that money and then he's on the bench and doesn't even come on. I mean, on a weekend like this one, it's not good.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jules. It's very difficult to pick a Man City midfielder at the moment, not least because, you know, Gundogan's kind of got a little injury niggle that he's kind of managing with his back. You've got Bernardo Silva flagged in the game right now. And then you've got what you've mentioned with Kevin De Bruyne there. So, you know, I kind of wonder whether if you were going to go up to sort of Kevin De Bruyne money, whether Raheem Sterling should be one that you have a look at. He had the full rest, I think, in the previous game week, still on penalties. And Newcastle have conceded the most amount of penalties, 6 so far this season of any club. So, you know, he's going to cost you a few quid, Raheem Sterling, but I think he's pretty, he's pretty nailed on. This is a Pep Guardiola team. Very difficult to say that, right? But he looks good for the start against Newcastle and on penalties, probably going to play in that false 9. If you were going to sell Cristiano Ronaldo and you had a lot of money burning a hole in your pocket, and I think I would agree with you, Jules. I would stay away from Kevin De Bruyne, but I'd maybe have a look at Raheem Sterling.
We're getting to that point, aren't we, where there's loads of options in that Manchester City midfield once again. Okay, moving on to our next conundrum. I say conundrum, but this isn't really a conundrum because Aston Villa have been in brilliant form and they were already an attractive proposition before beating Norwich. That win meant they've won 4 of 6 games under Steven Gerrard. And of course, they play this weekend. Now, Jules, you spoke after Gerrard's appointment about the impact you expected him to have, particularly in the fullback area. Have you been impressed with what you've seen?
Yeah, quite impressed. Like I said, I was at the Liverpool game and they set up very defensively, of course, and Liverpool are better than them. But I really thought that collectively they did well in that game for what he wanted them to do. So I think it's a really good start for him. I think they will improve even, again, collectively, the way they move the ball. But I think right now it's a really good time to bring Aston Villa players in your team. I mean, Ollie Watkins, we mentioned him before, of course. You and I think Kelly brought him in for this week and he was really good. Maybe the fact that, you know, a young Ollie Watkins learned everything he knows from Sam Parkin helps a lot and that's why he's so good. But more seriously, I even think that for a game like this against Burnley at home, you could look at Mings, you could look at Cash or Target or whoever in that defence, because I think they will keep a clean sheet and they will be very good again.
Which of those two would you go for, Jules? I've got my eye on Cash and Target as well. Tough to choose between the two though. Which do you fancy?
Yeah, you're right. I would go Cash more because I still think he's got more energy than Target. And also, remember the Rangers years of Gerrard. there was more emphasis on the right-hand side. Also because I think Tavernier was a better right-back than whoever was playing a left-back. But still, I do think that in all the sort of passing pattern that already you can see at Villa, I think there's more emphasis on the right-hand side. So I will go for cash, but me saying that, and then Target is going to get two assists at the weekend and we will all be getting it. But I'll probably go for cash as well, to be fair.
Jules mentioned Ollie Watkins. Learned all he knew from you in his time at Exeter, didn't he, Sam? And surely, because you're a loyal friend, you must be bringing him in.
He used to clean your boots, so I'm sure you've brought him in your team.
I think that that had gone out of the game by then, unfortunately. No, brilliant professional. All the raw attributes when he was a young lad, and I think Dean Smith worked wonders for him, obviously, at Brentford, turning him into a striker. So I think perfect manager for him right now, Stephen Gerrard. I'm really enthused about his opportunity now. John McGinn as well, another former teammate of mine. I mean, who better to learn off? I had a little look at the comparison between McGinn and Jacob Ramsey, just to see, you know, who's getting into the final third and affecting things. And right now, John McGinn's doing a bit of everything. Jacob Ramsey's your one. He's had 5 touches in the box against Norwich, 6 against Leicester in their last 2 victories. He's had 4 shots, most he's had in the last game away at Norwich. John McGinn, however, not touched the ball in the opponent's box in the last 3 fixtures. So it says to me, John's doing a bit of everything. He is the fulcrum of that team, really. But considering Jacob Ramsey's not only been prospering in the midfield 3, he's also played in the front 3 as well. So at the price that he's at, he's a great option if Stephen Gerrard is completely convinced by him, which it seems that he is on the back of that amazing goal at Norwich. He could be a great shout. But yes, I will go for one of my old muckers as well, Kelly. Probably Ollie Watkins.
Only the good managers bring in Jacob Ramsey, right, Lee?
Oh, don't you start with that. Oh, honestly. When So Sam brought him in this week. And honestly, a double-digit haul, which I think was his first of the season. Incredible. And when it happened, I was like, oh, that's really jammy. You've got away with one there. And then she proceeded to spend 5 minutes telling me why she brought him in, looked at the underlying stats, everything that Sam's just talked about, right, and the fact that he's, you know, one of Stevie G's favourites, etc. So I hand it to her. I can't be too negative about that. It's a good bit of FPL management, that. But I agree with everything Sam's saying. I mean, listen, he's definitely one of Stevie G's favourites. He's playing in that front 3, and what a price. Ridiculous, right? And there's not a lot of FPL players that are going to get, you know, even game time at 4.5 million. So if Jacob Ramsey is going to stay in that team, which it looks like he is at the moment, if you need to free up funds to do other things in your team, yeah, great shout.
From a good transfer for Sam to one of your transfers, you've been on this podcast and you talked up Ollie Watkins. You bought him in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Have you transferred him out? Are you going to have to do a Sam Parkin and go back on your decision and bring him back
in? Well, quite possibly, yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, Kelly. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I did bring him in a few weeks ago because I looked ahead at the fixtures and I thought, yeah, here's a guy that's, you know, going to, yeah, he's looking good in the Stevie G team. He's going to get a few points. And then a couple of weeks ago, I was just like, you've got to have Ronaldo for this run. You've got to have him. And he was, you know, Watkins was my sacrificial lamb to get Ronaldo in. Ronaldo had 2 games postponed. Ollie Watkins is doing bits, isn't he? So yeah, looks like I might be doing a parking and reversing that transfer.
I wonder if we can call it that throughout the season on the podcast when people make bad transfers.
To a move, that's pretty impressive.
You have my blessing.
Oh, thanks, Sam. Thanks. Okay, let's move on to our final part of this section, and it's talking about Tino Livramento. He started the season a hero as a playing 4 million defender, but since then, he's got just 5 points from 6 matches. Does that mean this weekend is the perfect opportunity for managers to move him on, do you think, Jules?
I think so, unfortunately. We all love the story, of course, and he started so well. I don't think he's so much down to just him. I think they're just a bit all over the place defensively.
Yeah.
The way they press is, I think, terrible. We saw that against Arsenal, for example, on that first goal, where they were all like half a second or a second late in the way they were pressing, which meant that it was far too easy for Arsenal to build up that goal and score it. I think it kept changing Stevens, Salisu, Bednarek, Lyonko, who I know Sam is a big fan, as centre-backs, which I think as a full-back, it's not helping when your centre-backs change all the time and just for cohesion, not even just because you like one more than the other. So I think he's also suffering from the poor defensive attributes right now from the team, and Willy Caballero in goal, let's not just go there. So it's tricky, and I I just don't. I think the last clean sheet they kept was at the start of November, so it starts to be a long, long time away where they didn't concede a goal to Southampton. So I'm sorry for Tino, but it might be time for all of us to let him go.
Okay, interesting. Well, a reminder, Southampton-Brentford isn't on this weekend, but 10 teams are in action, so let's now see what fixtures await us. The Game Week 18 deadline is a little later this week, Saturday the 18th of December at 1:30pm. The two games on Saturday are Aston Villa versus Burnley at 3pm UK time and Leeds versus Arsenal at 5:30. There's three games on Sunday, Wolves-Chelsea at 2. 15 minutes later, Newcastle welcome Manchester City, a game that finished 4-3 to the Blues last year. And finally, Tottenham return to action against Liverpool in the late game. I'd like to go in chronological order in this section, and each of our panellists has picked out a game. So first up, it's you, Jules.
Yeah, I went for Leeds against Arsenal. I find this Leeds team fascinating. Of course, they've got loads of injuries and they've had all season. I just don't know how you recover from the drubbing that they got at City and that 7-0 defeat. That could easily, by the way, have been 10 if Ilan Meslier in goal hadn't made those 7 saves or 8 saves. I think it's difficult when you concede 2 goals in the first 13 minutes, of course, especially against City. But I just don't know how you go after that 3 days later against an Arsenal team that is full of confidence and momentum as well. Rafinha, we mention him pretty much every week, and I think he still has a lot to offer. But it's very difficult for Leeds. Whereas I think for Arsenal, it's a really good time. I saw them against Southampton. I saw them again against West Ham, where I thought, especially in the second half, when they played with a bit more verticality, they were very, very interesting. Arteta will have to pick between Smith Rowe, Saka, Odegaard, and Martinelli. Only three of those four. You can add Pepe if you want to the list, but it's more those four. And only three of them will play. So it'd be interesting to see how he rotates. Can Smith Rowe now comes back in and starts the game? Do you give a bit of rest to Martinelli, who looked like he had a little niggle at the end of the game as well? Probably. So I think Saka, Odegaard and Smith Rowe are more likely to start in that game if you have them. But I think Martinelli is a really good shout too, because just of the pace, he's got so much pace. You've seen that against West Ham. It was pretty incredible on the goal especially. So I think very interesting game. And of course, in goal, Aaron Ramsdale. Aaron Ramsdale. Yeah, I told you on match day 3, bring him in. He's going to bring you a lot of points. And that's just what he did. You know, that's what he does.
What listeners can't actually see then is that Jules also accompanied that song with a dance, and he's dancing again now. No, it has been a brilliant transfer, as much as it pains me to admit. I finally listened to Jules this week and brought him in myself. 8 clean sheets from the last 14. But 8 have conceded fewer shots. Do you think Arsenal are going to concede in this one, Jules, or do you back them to get another clean sheet?
I think I would tip them to keep another clean sheet. I think the White-Gabriel partnership is really good. And then whether you go with Tierney or Tomiyasu. Tomiyasu is a third centre-back, sorry, more than a right full-back, really. He was a centre-back at the start, you know, in his career, at the start of his career. And I think Tierney is the one with more license to go forward anyway, certainly more than Tomiyasu. So I think they've got something good there defensively. They've worked on set pieces offensively, defensively, and they're a bit more solid on that compared to last season. So I would think against the Leeds team again, with a lot of players missing, not in good form, 1 win in the last 7. I think this one could be a good one for Arsenal.
Lee, what about from a Leeds perspective? What are you going to do with Rafinha? Because I imagine you've been thinking about getting him out, but he's got a fixture this week, so you're going to have to play him.
Well, this is it. Yeah, this is it. He's been on the chopping block for a couple of weeks for me because, you know, despite getting some FPL returns lately, and don't get me wrong, I'm very happy and happily received those, but they were, you know, they were penalties, and Rafinha's not going to be on penalties forever. I think he's third choice penalty taker at Leeds. So I feel a bit lucky to have got those returns, but I'll happily take them. So yeah, the last couple of weeks, he's been on the chopping block for me, but listen, I opened the app. He's got a game, so therefore I'm not going to sell him right ahead of this weekend's fixtures. It's just the general malaise around Leeds at the moment. I agree with what Jules was saying. I think, you know, they're obviously lacking firepower without Bamford. But for me, the big miss is Calvin Phillips. They're a different team when Calvin Phillips doesn't play. So despite how much I love Rafinha, great player, I think he's one of the top players in the league. He's not, I don't think, got the players around him to, you know, finish those assists or get the ball into areas for him to get the FPL points. So, yeah, I want to sell him, Kelly, but I'm going to hold him because he's got a game.
Yeah, I think lots of managers will be in the same boat. Moving on to our next fixture. Sam, which one have you picked out?
Yeah, Newcastle against Manchester City. said it earlier, it feels like one of those fixtures that jumps out that Manchester City have been really dominant in over the last few years. But I had a look at it. They've only won one of the last three, and Newcastle have managed to score seven times in those three games, incredibly. So, yeah, I wouldn't be rushing to get any more Manchester City defenders in. I'm not saying Newcastle are going to win this game, but I think they'll probably concede, considering Newcastle have only had one blank at St James's Park all season. I like Callum Wilson under Eddie Howe. I know he didn't start the game last night, but think back to that season at Bournemouth where he got 168 points, 14 goals and 12 assists in FPL for Eddie Howe at Bournemouth. And I just like that relationship. And I think he's a good alternative at the price point to Ollie Watkins, for example. So Callum Wilson would be the one I'd continually look at for Newcastle perspective. And going back to the Manchester City midfield conundrum, Gundogan, last 10 games, highest XG of any midfielder in the country. XG of 5.17, but he's just returned the three goals. Bernardo Silva has got five goals from an XG of just 3.44. So I thought that was really interesting. And I think this is the time to go for two Manchester City midfielders. Which two? I'm not so sure. Obviously, I think Bernardo Silva's form, his points return would be one. And then you've obviously got Foden, Gundogan, or possibly De Bruyne for this weekend. But I'm going to go for that. I haven't decided as of yet, but I think it's time probably to... I'll go further than that. It's probably time to go three Manchester City players and three Liverpool players. Just the current form and the current state as we find it right now, I think you go big on those two because they look the superior sides.
Do you agree with two City midfielders, Jules? If you were going to do that, which two would you go for?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a great... I think it's a lovely idea. Good luck guessing who's going to play week in and week out, because again, we go back to Pep Roulette, which we have this issue every season on the rotation and et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I think it's good if you've got the money as well. I still believe a lot in Bernardo Silva, even if Thursday night or Wednesday night was not maybe his best performance. I don't know. I like Sterling, like Lee mentioned earlier. I like Foden as well. The problem is I like everyone and I still don't know who you pick and when. And, you know, why Mahrez, after the good game that he had on Wednesday, Mahrez is going to be on the bench. I don't know why, you know, very likely because that's what happens. So I've got friends who brought Gabriel Jesus in and obviously that was a terrible idea this week, but Gabriel Jesus might start at Newcastle and get a hat-trick. I find it so difficult. So I don't know. I'll have a think about it.
I think if you're comfortable that one of them may not feature and you've got a lot, you've got enough in your midfield to cope for that, then I'd go for it. I think Foden as well, playing as a false nine, if he's going to play in that position as well, the current form that he's in off the back of the Leeds game, great option. So for me, it's two out of those three, Gundogan, Silva, Foden, and be comfortable. Have a cheaper option who's definitely going to feature a Ramsey that we spoke of earlier, Saka, Smith Rowe, someone of that ilk. If you've got enough regulars in that midfield that you can be comfortable with one missing out.
But in a weekend where you only have five games, you can't afford anyone to not play that actually has a game. So you would go for someone certain to start, even if it's not as a player as big as one of the City boys, because you can't take the risk of having someone who actually doesn't feature when he actually has a game.
I think you're spot on with that, Jules. I'd go a step further and say, not sure I entirely agree with what you were saying, Sam, about having three City and three Liverpool. On the face of it, yes, the two best teams in the league, you'd go treble up on both. But, you know, so much uncertainty with the fixtures at the minute. I think the shrewd way to play FPL right now is to hedge your bets two maximum from each team. And not kind of load up on single teams like that. Liverpool, listen, I think you've got to have the three. But for Man City, I think probably two's enough.
Also, we should mention that Bernardo Silva, Pep said after, does have a bit of a knock. Yeah. That was part of the reason that he came off.
True. Yes,
in midweek. What would you suggest his owners do in the face of that, Lee?
I think you've got to keep your eye on the press conferences. You've got to keep your eye on the news and see what happens. If Pep comes out and says definitively he's out of game week 18, you've got to act on that. You've got to do something different. I know Sam Bonfield, that is, rather than Parkin, is considering moving sideways from Bernardo to Phil Foden this week because of the uncertainty around Bernardo Silva. If Pep comes out and says he's going to play, then there's got to be other things in your team you've got to sort out for game week 18. Then you keep him and everything's fine. But yeah, he's probably a reluctant sell, I would say, if he's out of that game.
Yeah, one bit of good news though, Joao Cancelo will be back available having served his one match suspension. Okay, Lee, your final game, and this won't surprise regular listeners which one you pick, the FPL Family Derby.
Well, I had to pick this one, didn't I? I had to pick this one. And I'm going to, I think, spend more time talking about Spurs than I am Liverpool, frankly, because if I look at, you know, how a lot of FPL managers are set up with Liverpool, you've got Salah, you're probably captaining him most weeks. You've got Trent Alexander-Arnold, who scored an absolute thunderbolt the other night, didn't he? Great, great goal. And then you've probably got one other, and it's likely Diogo Jota. So I don't think there's too many FPL managers that are going to go away from that kind of template, if you want to call it that. The one cautionary note I would have around Diogo Jota, however, is that Roberto Firmino is back in the mix. So Bobby coming back means that Jota's minutes are a little bit at risk, I think. And I think Jota played most of, if not all of the game against Newcastle. And Bobby Firmino came on and got a few minutes on for Salah, and I think about 70 minutes. So that suggests to me that Klopp is kind of easing Firmino back in. But maybe Firmino is getting ready to play. And with the African Cup of Nations coming up, you know, with Salah and Mane going off to that, you know, Firmino is going to be a very important player for Liverpool over the next month or so. And Klopp is going to want to get minutes in his legs. Had a really good game Spurs away last season, Bobby Firmino, was absolutely instrumental in that win. So would not surprise me to see Firmino getting the start ahead of Diogo Jota this weekend. Sorry, Jota owners. But from a Spurs perspective, Conte's really done a great job since he's come in there. No question about it. Three clean sheets in their last four. So he's tightened them up defensively. And only Liverpool and City have got better XGC in the last four as well. So despite the fact Kane isn't really firing, they as a team are creating more chances and getting the FPL points. So Conte doing a great job. I just wonder whether this kind of, I was going to call it a break or a rest. And I guess you could call it a rest and a break for them, but they had such good momentum. I actually wonder whether this kind of rest, inverted commas, is good for them. I think it might have broken their momentum a little bit at a time when Liverpool have continued that rhythm, that momentum that Klopp's always talking about. So they've not broken their stride. Maybe this rest for Spurs has come at a bad time. And I wonder whether, you know, Liverpool with the rhythm might come into that game. Certainly I'm hoping Liverpool with the rhythm come into that game and blow Spurs away. So yes, it will be tense in the FPL family living room at the weekend, Kelly. So we're looking forward to this one.
Yeah, I think we should actually ask you to put a camera up so we can watch back and see some of your reactions to that one. It's going to be an intriguing fixture, isn't it, Sammy? Because it did look like Antonio Conte was shoring the Spurs defence up a little bit. Mo Salah has been so prolific this season. Do you back him to still return against what does look like a more robust Spurs defence?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Always.
He's incredible at the moment. You have to back him. I agree with Lee in terms of the rhythm, but... Well, I'd be more strong on it if it wasn't Antonio Conte, because I'd imagine he'd have been working them, you know, as soon as they're ready to get back on the training ground. He's such a demanding manager in terms of the way that he wants them in physically top condition and also in terms of the structure of the team. So I'd still fancy Liverpool for this game. I wouldn't be rushing to get any Tottenham players in. That said, I've still got Harry Kane because of last week's disaster. So I'll probably persevere with Harry this week just because I can use my substitutions elsewhere.
And you can't bear to transfer out your replacement transfer.
Of course. Disaster.
Oh, look, that he did a little laugh, but he's like, please, guys, I just want to move on.
So move on, Kenny, move on.
Yeah, that's exactly what we'll do. I say, I'll do you a favour, Sammy.
At least he won't face Virgil van Dijk. So, yeah. You know, he will have more chance to score now that van Dijk is out than if van Dijk had been in.
Look at that. Jules always offering a crumb of comfort when a man's down. You are indeed. Okay, well, I promised Sam we'd move on. So let's do just that. Let's turn our attention further afield with the long view. Yes, the Longview is back after missing out on Monday. Oh, we missed it, didn't we? We used a fixture difficulty rating available on PremierLeague.com to take a look at who has the most favourable or least favourable upcoming run of fixtures. And at the top, it's Everton. A reminder, their game at Leicester has been postponed, but their fixtures when they do resume from game week 19 are Burnley, Newcastle, Brighton, Norwich and Villa. They have injuries and they got that point, didn't they, at Stamford Bridge on Thursday. Anyone we should be considering, Jules?
Well, I think we should, yeah. But I'm not going to. I think they've got too many injuries. I still think it's very fragile. What Rafa Benitez is doing, mostly because of all the players missing. than anything else. I'm still not completely convinced by his tactics either. So, of course, you can look at Michael Keane or Ben Godfrey, players like that, or even more going forward, Richarlison. Obviously, he's out injured, so is Calvert-Lewin. So it's a bit more difficult to see who could bring you a lot of points by scoring. But defensively, if you think that they're not going to concede, Pickford in goal, again, Godfrey, Keane, Holgate, potentially. Some have good prices. It could be interesting for you, but it's not for me, Everton, right now.
I think longer term, Damari Gray is still a half-decent shout, 5.6 million. He's had little streaks, hasn't he, this season? I think he scored in three straight games early part of the campaign, and then he scored in two back-to-back recently. Most shots from an Everton perspective, 35. Outshooting Doucouré, I think, is someone that people are looking at right now, slightly cheaper, 5.4. So, yeah, I had Andros Townsend early part of the season when he was on fire, and I think that Damari Gray is kind of eclipsing him right now. So someone that I would consider moving forward, but obviously have to see how he recovers from being out of the side last night and probably for the next few weeks.
At the other end of the fixture difficulty rating, Brighton are second from bottom. They too don't play this weekend and they have been injury hit. One clean sheet in eight. Do you think Robert Sanchez owners should now be parting company, Lee?
Yeah, I think reluctantly, yes, Kelly. Yeah, I think no win since game week five, right? Eight draws, three defeats, you know, a lot of injuries at the back line, despite Tarek Lamptey coming back in. And if you were going to consider going into the Brighton defence, I think, yeah, he's one worthy of consideration based on, you know, FPL performances last season and the amount he gets forward and the amount of touches he has in the box. It's sensational. But elsewhere, yeah, it's difficult to know who to go to from Brighton. And given those defensive injuries, Sanchez, I think, is a reluctant sell. There isn't a hell of a lot more to play with in his price bracket, though, in that sort of 4.5, 4.6 bracket. So my suggestion would be find a little bit more money if you can, and then go up to the 5.1 bracket where you'll find the likes of Jose Sarr and, of course, the aforementioned Aaron Ramsdale, who for me is the one to have. So Sanchez, for me, yes, I think reluctantly. Been good for us so far this season, Kelly, but now he's a sell.
Time now to focus back on game week 18 as the panel tell us their own plans for their teams. Okay, so transfers and captains. Let's see how the guys' teams are looking and how they're going to prepare them for game week 18. Sam, I can see you scratching your head. Is that how you're feeling about your team at the moment?
I'm just scratching out Diego Jota's name after Leeds. That put me off him earlier.
No. Yeah. Take him out, Sam. We'll be bringing him back for a -4 next week.
I think he's a bit of a must-have at the moment, but I might not do that now, Lee's said his penny's worth. So I think Ollie Watkins in for me and probably Phil Foden on what I just said. Who's going to come out? It's probably anyone's guess, to be honest, because there's so many of them not playing. But yeah, I think Foden and Watkins in for me this week.
Very decisive, more decisive than I was expecting, I've got to be honest with you. Just quickly, you haven't made those transfers already, have you? You're going to leave it right before the deadline?
I'm going to leave that until just before the game freezes.
This is a thing now, Sam, I'm afraid. This is going to get mentioned a lot on this podcast.
Oh my God, I can't wait for the next time we're on together.
Jules, what about you? What are your plans?
I think Matty Cash is very likely to happen in my team. And then, after what we've all said and the boys said about City players, maybe a second one. I've got Cancelo is another option. Or maybe not take the 4-point hit and stick with just my free transfer, which I think would be Matty Cash, and then try to manage the rest of the team.
That's it. Jules, a man of his word. He's been talking about Matty Cash and he's going to bring him in. What about you, Lee? Are you set on your transfers at this point?
Oh, no, far from set, Kelly. No, far from set. Like Sam, I'll be waiting till the last minute. But I must admit, I watched that last Man City game from behind the sofa. I didn't have any Man City coverage because of Cancelo's suspension. So every time a goal went in, I could feel my ranks slipping away. So I think you need to be in on that against Newcastle. So I'll probably be bringing in whichever midfielder is fit. And at the moment, it's looking as if Foden is the one. Certainly, he's passing the eye test for me. So having bought in Gallagher last week, he now doesn't have a game this weekend. So probably going to ship him out for Foden, you know. And I've got to fund that somehow. And the likelihood is I'll be selling one of my forwards, probably Ronaldo, to fund that. So that gives me, you know, an option to bring in somebody like an Ollie Watkins up front or somebody a bit differential. And, you know, we didn't talk about him before in the Arsenal chat, but Alexander Lacazette, is on my radar. So if I want to be a little bit different, I'll go for the Frenchman. Otherwise, it'll be Ollie Watkins.
Ollie Watkins. Look at that. Men who aren't afraid to go back on their transfer decisions, bring them straight back in. That's what I like. What about captaincy then, guys? Last week, more than 60% of all of the managers in FPL captained Mo Salah. He's the first player to be handed the armband by over 5 million managers in a game week. But is this a potential week to go against Salah? Or, Jules, have you, even though you want to captain Trent sometimes, no?
Yeah, I mean, I might go Trent. You know, I will leave that until the last minute. And I've got a little voice in me that said, go for Trent. I did it before and it worked out well. And I was really gutted on Thursday night when Trent got more points than Salah. And I was like, I knew it. I should have done it again. So I might well be tempted to do it this weekend.
If you need me to have a little word with that little voice, Jules, let me know. You going against Salah, that's brave, very brave.
I know.
The main reason I asked there about Salah is actually because Liverpool have on paper what looks like a trickier fixture than the likes of Manchester City. So I'm actually wondering, is this the week to look at City potentially instead?
Well, it could be. I mean, the City fixture does look better on paper, but it's who do you have and does Pep even start them and what are the injuries, etc. So if you're feeling brave, then City midfield might be the way to go. But listen, Salah's had difficult fixtures on paper all season and I think has blanked once in 17 games. So I know it makes this section of the podcast a little bit boring for the listener, Kelly, but going against Salah is still pretty brave.
It's not boring as long as we give good FPL advice. Maybe suggest some other options. You don't have to agree with me. For what it's worth, I'll captain Salah as well. What about you, Sam?
Yeah, Salah's the right answer. But looking at the fixtures, Ollie Watkins is the only other one, yeah. I think, jumping out at me. So, I'll look at my team Saturday evening and see if I take the plunge. That'd be the only one I'd consider, home against Burnley. At Manchester City, it's too random.
Okay, so if we're all being boring, but not really boring, with the captain, who are we going to vice-captain, Jules?
Oh, that's a good one. Ollie Watkins, I think, is a very good shout, vice-captain, yeah.
Lee?
I will probably be going for one of the Chelsea boys at the back. You know, Reece James should have had more points, I think, in that game against Everton. So with Wolves not exactly firing on all cylinders, probably go vice-captain Reece James, you know.
What about you, Sammy? Chelsea defender, Ollie Watkins, who are you going for?
Yeah, I think it'll be Salah and Watkins will be my two. Outside of that, if I've still got Harry Kane, it's got to happen soon, isn't it?
I'll say yes.
He says more in hope than expectation.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining me. The very best of luck. And to everyone listening, we hope you manage to get through the final game week before Christmas with plenty of points. Remember to check out all of the other brilliant content on the Premier League app and website. The deadline, again, is 1:30 on Saturday UK time. Good luck. And remember, we'll be back next Thursday.